This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 22 and then going on to 42. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer.
Good morning. Good morning to those on camera, and good morning to those of you in the room, and especially to Emily and Amelia, who are going to very patiently sit through someone standing at the front and talking, which must be quite a challenge. And especially as you've already just heard a sermon. Oh, mustn't move away, must I? Sorry. Already, you've already heard a sermon because Peter preached a sermon. And at the end of a sermon, you like to have a response to see how people react to what they've heard. And so I'm not going to repeat all of Peter's sermon, but I am going to comment a little bit about his response and what actually the people said to him and he said to them. And what I would like is for everyone today to have a chance to think back to when you first heard the message about Jesus and perhaps to your baptism. That's what we're going to be thinking back to. And then think about how you are today. That's kind of where we're going to end up in a short while. So let's think about the Christian life and how it started. And of course, we all talk about people who are Christians now, and we say, oh yes, Christian. But in the early days, they didn't have a word for that. And actually, they often talked about the way. They talked about the way. So if you were a Christian, the early folk were called followers of the way. Now, the way is quite a good way of describing the Christian life, because the Christian life isn't a point in time that just happens and that's it. Actually, it's not a sprint, the Christian life, either. It's a marathon. So if you think about the most famous runners we know, Usain Bolt is the fastest man over 100 meters. But if you're thinking about an analogy for the Christian life, then that would be someone like Mo Farah. Mo Farah, who keeps going and going and going for 26 miles. He still does it pretty quickly, doesn't he? So when you think about the Christian life has a start, but it's a race to keep going. It's a perseverance race. It's an endurance race. It's not just about a point in time. But actually, what Catherine read to us was a fascinating point in time, because on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and Peter, who'd been hiding, if you remember, and denying he even knew Jesus, finds himself standing and preaching to thousands of people. Now, we know there were thousands of people because 3,000 became Christians that day. So I don't suppose everyone became a Christian that day. So there were many thousands, and that's who Peter was preaching to. And this is the... Let's just move on here. Can you move me on, Candy? Thank you. This is the passage and the bit that I'm going to be talking about. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That was the response at the end of the sermon. And we're going to look at 4 points. When they heard this, what was it they heard? Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the shape of what we're going to be going through this morning. And halfway through, I'm going to get you to talk to the person next to you or have a moment to think if you're sitting on your own. Okay? So what did they hear? Well, this is what they heard. They heard that God had made Jesus, who they had crucified, both Lord and Christ, or Messiah, the anointed one, the special one. Now, this was a crowd of people, not like us, 2,000 years removed from the incident, but this was a group of people, many of whom might have actually seen Jesus on the cross a few weeks before, about 6 weeks before. And instead, Peter is saying, Jesus is God, Lord, and he is the Savior, the Rescuer, the Anointed One. And this was dynamite. But even more amazing was the message that God raised Jesus from the dead. They'd seen him crucified, and now he was alive. And that God has raised Jesus to life. And that was what they heard. In another place, we get to hear something about who Jesus is. We are told that he is the chosen Savior King, the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And these are some of the names of Jesus. And so this message was quite dynamite to these people. They had seen Jesus crucified. In the Jewish traditions, anyone that was crucified was cursed by God. And here's people saying that God has actually raised Jesus. He is God's Savior King. One of the earliest creeds, we sang the creed today. I love that creed that we sung. It was great. But one of the earliest creeds was this simple from 1 Corinthians 15. The most important things are this. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was raised on the third day. And this was witnessed by lots and lots of people. You see, God's intervention in our world is historical fact. You can go back to about AD 29 on Pentecost feast, and you know about the events of this day, and you know that the Easter time before that was when Jesus was crucified and he was raised again. So this is what they heard. They heard that Jesus died, he was buried, and God had raised him again as the Messiah, as the Savior King. And so they say, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And step one that Peter said to them was to repent. Now, this is an old-fashioned word, a word we don't use very often, or if we do sometimes, it's almost done in a jokey way. But what it simply means is to turn round, to go the other way. But in fact, in the sermon we heard from Peter that was read to us, it tells us this, that everyone that calls out to him, everyone that trusts in his name, will be saved. The repent is to change direction. And in verse 41, it says, accept God's rescue. Those who accepted God's rescue. And these are all strange words. But what I wanted to do is actually to remind you of a story that Jesus told. The story of the prodigal son. Now, this picture is a picture of a sculpture of the father wrapping his arms in love around the returned son. And this picture is actually, and the sculpture too, are by a chap called Charlie Mackesy, who wrote the book The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse, if you know that one too. And Charlie Mackesy takes part in the Alpha videos that a lot of us have got to know. And he talks there about the prodigal son and this amazing picture of the father wrapping his arms of love around the son. But do you remember the story? The son goes off on his own. He goes off to spend his inheritance and do what he likes. He heads right away from his father and he goes off to what was called riotous living in the Bible, in the old version. He has some riotous living. And that's what he gets up to. But things get bad and he realizes that he is in a dreadful place. And so what does he do? Well, actually, he comes to his senses and he says, I will go back to my father. He repents. He turns around quite literally and goes back to where he has come from. And he accepts that he might come back as a sinner, as someone that's wasted things. And he comes really to say, Father, forgive me. But his father sees him and comes rushing to him in love. And so the message of repentance to God is not that we're going back to get punished, but we're going back into the loving arms of our Father God, who is waiting for us to return. And that's the promise. All anyone ever has to do to come back into relationship with God is to shout, help, help. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just recognizing that we need him is that step of repentance, coming back to him. So that was repentance. Next step is to be baptized, it said in the sermon. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, we often skip over the bit that says, in the name of Jesus Christ. You've probably mostly all got one of these. Hold it up for the camera too. It's a passport. Some of you might have the new blue ones. This is one of the European Union ones. And I don't know if you've ever read it. If you're like most people, you never have. But on the very front page, it says this. Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires, in the name of Her Majesty, a name has a capital letter, all of those to whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely. So actually, to do something in the name of someone is really, really significant. And so we're baptized, not because we think it's a good idea to get baptized, but we do it in and under the authority of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Capital N on name in one sense. Be baptized in his name, in his authority. We don't do it because we deserve to get put right with God. We do it because Jesus has made that possible. And then it talks about the forgiveness of our sins. Now, most of us know we muck things up and we make mistakes and so on. But also we know that we have fallen short of God's law. We have broken his laws. And all that bad stuff we do can be forgiven through Jesus. But as I often preach when I do talk about sin here, Jesus came to also deal with all the bad stuff that happens to us as well. It's not just what we have done, it's what other things and other people have done to us. and he comes to forgive us. So we are told to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, well, baptism. Now, in this church, as you know, and in a few weeks' time, we were going to have a baptism service today, but we couldn't have done it like we normally do. But in a few weeks' time, we're going to move this bit of floor here, and it's going to be full of water, and then people who want to be baptized will go down into the pool, and we will pull them under, and good news, will bring them up again. I promise that for those who are being baptized, we will bring you back up again. We won't keep you down there. And of course, baptism itself doesn't cleanse us. It's a picture. It's dynamic. It tells us something that has happened. So just before I tell you a little bit about that, I'd like you to talk to the person next to you, okay? Or if you're on your own, then you can think about it. If you're at home, likewise, talk to the people there. Think back. Either what was it like when you were baptized, if you've been baptized? How did you feel at the time and how do you feel about it now? Okay, just for a minute or so. And if you haven't been baptized, why do you think Peter talked about repenting and be baptized? Why did he go on about baptism? Okay, so there's your question. You've got about 2 minutes. So talk to the person next to you or sit and think it through yourself. So if you've been baptized, how did you feel about it? And how do you feel now? If you haven't been baptized, why do you think Peter talks about baptism? Over to you. And at home too, please. Okay, well, I haven't got time to go around and hear all of your answers. But that's probably the most useful bit of the sermon, to actually think that through and to consider it. I didn't know for certain that Pippa was going to be here, my daughter, but I do remember her baptism was quite dramatic because it was in Hong Kong in the middle of the monsoon. And there was a big pool, like a paddling pool type of thing, in which she was baptized. But it was outside in a school playground, and everyone got baptized because the monsoon was so drenching us. We all got completely soaked. So it was that was what I remember about that. But I wonder how you remember that baptism and what it means to you today. And I just wanted to remind us again from this why we go through baptism. Well, the first reason is because Jesus told us to. He told us to, and that's a good reason. And Peter reinforces that in this sermon. But then more important than that, it is meant to be acting out a picture, enacting the rescue that Jesus did. Jesus died for us, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again. And if you think about the picture in the water, the person goes down into the water, then they go under the water, and then they come up again to new life. And so part of that picture that is there is that picture of what Jesus has done, but also that we align ourselves with that. We say what Jesus did matters for me, and I'm linking myself with his death, his burial, his new life. And of course, also there's a picture of cleansing, of forgiveness, because we use water to clean ourselves. It doesn't clean us. Someone made a joke to me about they were so bad they'd have to go up and down 2 or 3 times. Well, I know we sometimes feel that way, but of course it's a picture. It's not actually about how many times you go under the water. It is a picture of what Jesus has already done in forgiving us. But also, it's about publicly saying, I am a Christian. I am a follower of the way. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I still remember this. I heard this when I was a teenager. This was a man who had been a missionary in Algeria, right down in the Sahara Desert, in an area that was very, very antagonistic to anyone who wanted to become a Christian. And this man went as a missionary, and after preaching for some time, someone said, I want to become a Christian. And then some others did too, and he started a small church. And then that first person said, I want to be baptized. And so, in a river, there were some rivers there, he baptized this person who had become a Christian. And within a week, they were murdered because the community didn't mind them associating with a foreigner, but they were not to identify themselves publicly as a Christian. And after that, someone else came up to him in the church and said, I want to be baptized. And he thought, what do I do? But he believed that was the command of Jesus. So he baptized that person. And about a month later, that person was murdered. When the third person came up to him, he prayed hard. What do I do? Do I say don't get baptized? But he felt he should, and he recognized that this was public identification with Jesus. So he baptized that third person, and that third person went on to become the leader of that church, which grew and grew. But it was recognized so clearly that the going through baptism was, because people can't see what goes on in your head when you believe, but they can see that very strange act, and that was public identification. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this: if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, that's what we do at baptism, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And finally, step 3, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, our machine doesn't have the font I use for receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is why it's in funny letters. But this was also part of the message of what happened when people started their Christian lives, their following of the way of Jesus. Because they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is power to live our new life. You remember I said it wasn't a sprint, but it's a marathon? And if we try to do it in our own strength, we know we can't. It goes wrong. But of course, Jesus doesn't just save us and say you're okay with God once for all. He says he comes to live within us that we might walk and live his life. God pours out his Spirit on all the people who call out to him. He gives us gifts to share with others, to help others in the church. For those who trust and repent, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another time and other places, we talk about how that's something that we're commanded to go on praying for. Continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. But on that start of the Christian life, immediately at that time, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. And we're then empowered by that Spirit to live a Spirit-filled life within God's community of faith. Just 3 pictures to help. The Holy Spirit is like breath. We are not alive without breath. And the Holy Spirit, the word Spirit, the word wind, the word breath in the New Testament, all that same idea, that same word. And so the holy breath of God gives to us spiritual life. Tongues of fire came down, and fire represents power, energy, fuel. And the only way that we can live for Jesus week by week, day by day, is when the Holy Spirit gives us that strength to do so. And of course, the Holy Spirit living within us is the life of Christ, always with us. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age, Jesus said. The presence of God living within us. And so let's just finish with these words: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Draw strength from this. He is our rescue. We identify with Jesus. His Holy Spirit lives within us. We're only baptized once, but we're encouraged to take communion regularly, and we're going to do that in a moment, to give thanks. But as we close this part of the service, I'm going to pray, inviting the Holy Spirit to fill you again. And for those who have never yet received the Holy Spirit and never yet asked Jesus to save them, I'll pray for you as well. And I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you today and tomorrow and the next day, not just once. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are God's chosen Messiah, that you died, you were buried, and you rose again. And we thank you that you did that because you loved us and you came to rescue us. Thank you that all we have to do is to call upon your name and we will be saved. And Holy Spirit, if there is anyone here today who's not done that yet, I would pray that you would speak to them today and call them to call out to you. And if you're considering baptism, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, baptism that identifies you with all Lord Jesus has done for us, please obey that call, knowing that that is what Jesus wants, and knowing that that public identification is a special mark, a special confessing out loud that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour. And I pray too, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will come now and fill each one of us again. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give us the power to live day by day, week by week. We thank you for your indwelling life that brings to us spiritual life and that gives us spiritual energy. And as we think back to whenever it was that we started our Christian lives, Lord, forgive us for the many times we've fallen away, but refresh and renew us again through the power of your Spirit living within us. We ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.